Now, I don't know about you, but I like working in the light. I like to be able to see what I'm doing. The only time I can recall intentionally working in the dark was when I was a teenager. One of our youth leaders was teaching us how to develop film. Kids, there was a day when cameras had this stuff in it that was called film. And anyway, they know nothing about that. They don't remember those little places you drive through and drop off your film and come back and get your photos developed a week later, and now it's instantaneous. But anyhow, that's the only time I can remember ever working in the dark where it was intentional. Even then, there was a red light that was on in there to have some visibility. Sometimes you go to do something and you need a flashlight on it, but you need both hands. So you're trying to figure out somewhere to set it, or maybe you have a magnet on your flashlight and you can locate it somewhere. There have been times when I have used my mouth to hold my flashlight. I'm sure none of you have ever stooped to that, but I have. I had to do that. On other occasions, I've had somebody offer to hold a flashlight for me, and they'll hold a flashlight. And invariably, what happens whenever someone does that is they begin to look around at other things, and the light begins to drift. Now, to be fair, I've done the same thing in holding the flashlight for someone else to start to look elsewhere, and the light begins to drift from where it needs to be. There's one source of true light for us as believers, and we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get distracted. It is so easy to drift away from God and to let our attention be drawn to other things. We have to be intentional to focus on Him. To be light, we must have the light of God in us. To have the light of God in us, we must first have a personal relationship with Him and then grow and mature in Him. Growing doesn't happen on accident in the faith. You must dig into God's Word. You must spend time with Him daily. If you want to be the light of God to a lost world, the light of God needs to be poured into you so that it can flow out of you. So I want to take a look at a text in Ephesians where Paul reminds us that we were once darkness, but through Christ have been made light. If you don't have Christ in your life right now, you're still in darkness. As we walk through this text, I pray you'll see the importance of being light. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done in secret by them. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the reality that You want us to know You. You want us to know light and to have Your light shine in our lives. God, I pray right now that our hearts and minds would be open to hear from You. Lord, help us to not just hear, but to apply Your truth. God, in my weakness right now, I pray You'd be made strong. May You be lifted up and glorified. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So first of all, I ask you, are you being light? I want you to notice you were darkness. You were darkness. Now in verse 8 that we just read, Paul says to the people of Ephesus and ultimately to all of us as believers, you were once darkness. Now, I want to point out a couple of things about that statement. You see, the first thing should be obvious, immediate to you. You should notice it right away. Paul's speaking of something in the past tense. You were darkness. We don't use the word were to refer to present tense. I were preaching, meaning I was preaching right now. No, that'd be bad grammar anyhow, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, we use the word were to refer to past tense. If I was to say something like, we were to go to Hawaii next month, you'd think I won the lottery. But nevertheless, you would think in saying that the plans had changed. We were to go, but now we're not. You understand that that is a past tense word. The New American Standard, in its translation, instead of using the word once, uses the word formally. Either way, it's clear what Paul's intent here. He's referring to something in the past. But the second thing that I want you to notice about this statement that might not be as obvious is there is no modifying pronoun. Paul didn't say you are in darkness or you are of darkness. He says you were darkness. In many respects, it's very much the same thing as saying you were dead in sin, which is spoken of elsewhere in Scripture. Paul even says it here in earlier in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were not just in darkness, we were darkness. Now, I don't want to get too philosophical here because that's not my cup of tea, but we use the term darkness to describe the absence of light. Darkness is the description of a place where light is not present. Without Christ, the light is not present in us. Therefore, we were darkness. The absence of Christ is the absence of light, and the absence of light is darkness. Are you with me? I hope you're tracking with me there. But I've heard several testimonies through the years when someone would say, you know, before I became a Christian, I would read the Bible and I didn't have a clue what it was saying. But then when I placed my faith in Christ and I began to read the Bible, it came to life. I began to understand it. I've heard that over and over from people. I would say the darkness of life and sin blinds us to the truth of God's Word, and when Christ sets us free from sin, suddenly the light comes on and we have our eyes open to the truth. You can't see in complete darkness, and the person that has not trusted Christ as Savior is in complete darkness without the light of Christ. As God reveals Himself to the lost, glimpses of light start occurring, and they begin to see things that they couldn't see before. I came home from work one day a couple of weeks ago, and after I'd been home a little while, my wife looked at me and said, "Did you notice what I did?" Some of y'all already recognize the problem right there, don't you? So in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, she got some new fall decoration. I hadn't noticed it yet. Or maybe she's rearranged the decorations around the room and I haven't noticed yet. Now, let me just say on behalf of at least most of the men in here today, ladies, you could move every single decoration in the house and we would not see it. We don't notice. But let me be honest, if you move the remote, we're going to notice. But anyway, I didn't notice anything, and we were headed out to take the dog to the park, so we'd gone out and done that, and later that evening she said, "You still hadn't noticed anything different, have you?" So now I know I'm in trouble. Not really. She was picking on me. She starts to chuckle, and so I'm literally trying to look around. What am I missing? What is so obvious that I should have already seen? And I'm walking around, and finally she starts getting warmer. So she's helping me figure out where I'm supposed to be going. And then I realized suddenly she's changed the switch plate on the light switch to the kitchen. Now, in fairness, I had not even turned the lights on or off in the kitchen, so I had not been by there. If I had, I would have noticed, but I did not notice the change she made right there in plain sight on the wall. She helped me see the light. When God opens our eyes to the truth of our sin, we finally admit we're sinners. The light begins to shine into our lives. The darkness that's existed starts to change. The more sin is cleaned out of our lives, the more light is able to fill us and to come in and shine through us. Never forget where you came from. Never forget that you were darkness. One of the reasons that the lost are not drawn to the light of Christ in us is that some of us as Christians have forgotten what it was like to be in darkness. Some Christians get self-righteous and they think they're above others. We need to remember daily that we were dead, that we were in the dark, we were in darkness, and we were lost before Jesus changed our lives, before He cleansed us of our sins. I'm not saying that we don't tell them the truth about sin, because we should tell them the truth about sin, but we should let our light shine so clearly that they see the love of God through us. We can love them enough to want them to know the truth and to want them to have what we have in Christ. So remember, you were darkness. But secondly, we see in this text that you are light now. You are not darkness anymore. You are light. Again, notice the present tense rather than the past tense. You were darkness, that's past. You are the light, that's present. Don't let the enemy convince you of anything about yourself that is not true. When you place your faith in Christ, you have changed positions. You are now justified in Christ. You are made right with Him, and you are now light in Him. Nothing can change that. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You were darkness. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now you are alive in Christ. You are a new creation. You are light. In Colossians, Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Folks, we are sons and daughters of God. We are part of his family now. What had been darkness to us, what had been out of view for us is now inside, and we are no longer blinded to the beauty of the light of God. Peter, in 1 Peter, says it this way, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are light. You are a chosen people, holy unto God, and because you belong to him, you are to praise him for the work that he's done in your life. The lost around you need you to proclaim his marvelous light so that they will have the opportunity to come out of the darkness and into the light. They don't know that they need light until they realize they're in darkness. Folks, it is so true and so accurate. When the reality is, in helping someone come to faith, we have to get them lost before we can get them saved. We have to help them realize there's a problem with where they are right now, apart from Christ. About a couple months ago now, I had x-rays of both of my shoulders, and I'd been having some pain, and after the doctor saw the x-rays, he called me and he said, "You have arthritis and bone spurs in both shoulders." So to be honest, I was kind of relieved to know that it wasn't just something in my mind, that there was actually something there. There was a reason I was hurting. But he told me at this point, it's pain management, and that activity really wouldn't make things any worse. About a month after that, I was talking to Dr. Jarrett, and I was telling him about what I had found out, and he recommended trying this new topical cream that's for arthritis called Voltaren. So I picked it up at the store, and I opened up the tube, and when I opened up, took the cap off the tube, sitting on the top of that was what looked like, I can best describe as a flower. It looked like a daisy or something sitting on the top of this. Now, you've seen tubes before where it's got foil on it or plastic on it, and then you turn the cap over and you puncture it. Well, I'm sitting there with this little daisy-looking thing on top of that, and I'm trying to twist it with my fingers, and I cannot turn it, and I'm trying to pull it with my fingernails. I cannot get it to pull out. And finally, my wife said, "Flip over the cap." Well, this is not one of those puncture things. This is a flower. I flip over the cap, and sure enough, there's this flower shape on that cap. I put it down on top of that, twist it, and it comes right off. Once again, my wife helped me see the light. There are people all around us wandering in darkness and don't know how to get out. They don't know there's a door to go through that leads to light and to life. They don't know that there is a door. They don't even know there's a door in most cases. It's our job to help them see that they're trapped in darkness in sin and that sin wants to destroy them. We can show them to the door that leads to Christ, but that won't happen if we don't let our light shine. Christ is in us. We need to let him shine through us. You are light when you come to faith in Christ. Your light is not false light. It's light that leads to truth, to forgiveness, and eternal life. One night I opened up the front door to let our dog go out, and when I opened the door, we have a storm door, and on that storm door, I saw a light on that storm door, and I thought, I've not seen that light before. Neighbor's got some funky light now or something, and then I opened the door, the storm door, and realized the light went away. Well, you see, what happened is when I opened the door, somebody behind me opened the refrigerator at the same time. And that light was from the refrigerator, not from my neighbor's house. You see, it was a reflection. It wasn't really what I thought I was seeing. The light that is in us is the real light. It's not a reflection. It's not false light. It's real light. It's the light of Christ in us. Folks around us can be misled by false lights, lights that merely are a reflection but not the real thing, lights that promise something of value but deliver only momentary fluff. May we be the light of God to the lost world around us because we're no longer darkness. We are light. Let his light shine through you. You are not darkness any longer. You are light. So we see in this text that you were darkness and you are light. But thirdly, I want you to see that we need to shine the light. Now, we touched on that a little bit, but I want you to look again in the text beginning in verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now, I want you to notice three things that the fruit consists of here in this text. First of all, it consists of goodness. Now, there's several words in the Greek that are translated good, but here, Paul used the word that refers to moral excellence or to being good in both nature and effectiveness. This implies goodness that is done willingly and sacrificially for others. In 1 Thessalonians and in 2 Thessalonians, Paul uses this same word. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue, there it is, what is good for one another and for all. And then in 2 Thessalonians, Paul uses it again. To this end also, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Our goodness will be displayed and be light when we're willing to put the needs of others ahead of our own, to honor God in the way that we serve and treat others. The second fruit of righteousness that we, the second fruit of light that we see in this text is righteousness. Now here, righteousness has to do, first of all, with our relationship with God, that we've been made right with Him through the blood of Christ, and we maintain fellowship with Him by confessing our sin. Yet this also has to do with how we live. Paul said it this way in Romans 6, verse 13, and do not offer any parts of it, your body, to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. Folks, we are weapons for good, weapons for the kingdom of God. God wants to work through us for the kingdom. You know, a scalpel in the hand of an evil person can cause a great deal of damage, but the same scalpel in the hand of a gifted surgeon can bring recovery, can bring healing, can bring life. You and I have been called to be light and life to those around us. John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says this, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. In doing that which is righteous, we show that we're born of God and we point other people to God. Our fruit, the fruit of our life, will tell the truth about whether or not we've made a decision for Christ, whether or not we truly belong to him. So we see that we should be showing righteousness and not to show it for others, but that it naturally goes through us because of Christ in us. The third fruit of light here is truth. Now this has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, and integrity. In a world where so many people will lie without blinking, we should stand apart as people who speak the truth. We should be honest and reliable. People should know that it is a part of our character that we always seek to tell the truth. Our integrity should set us apart from the lost around us, and people should know that they can depend on us to be trustworthy. Let me say something about the truth right here. Please hear me carefully on this. The truth is not an excuse to bludgeon people. Hello? The truth can be spoken in love and should be spoken in love if we're going to honor God. Just because, well, it's the truth. That is not an excuse to beat somebody over the head with it. We must show the love of Christ in how we tell others the truth. But Paul goes on to warn us not to participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness. Churches today are doing that very thing. They're condoning sin and even celebrating sin, all in an effort to make the gospel more acceptable. Can I say to you clearly from the Word of God, it is not our job to make the gospel more acceptable. The gospel is the gospel. It is our job to proclaim this truth. It should be from a heart of love, but it should not be watered down, twisted, or manipulated in any way, shape, or form. It is God's Word, not ours. We have no place to change what God has said. You see, when you and I stand for the truth, we will expose lies. When we shine the light of God, we will expose the sin of the world. The very things that this world is celebrating and promoting are the things which the light of God shines in contrast. The world says abortion is a woman's right. God says it's murder. The world says getting drunk is fun. God says it's sin. The world says that sex doesn't require any commitment and it's something you can treat as casual, but God says it's something for the marriage bed only and between a man and a woman who have committed to one another in marriage. Otherwise, it's sin. Shining the light of God exposes the darkness to a lost world. However, verse 14 reminds us that anyone that will turn to the light of Christ can be made alive in Christ. Though they are currently dead in sin, they can have life through Christ. But how can they ever know Him if we don't let our light shine? Who do you know that needs the light of Christ in their life? Are you praying for them regularly? Are you praying for opportunities to be a witness to them? I'm afraid too many times our prayer when it comes to witnessing to people is, Lord, please send somebody else. Instead of being with Isaiah and saying, Lord, here am I, send me. We have a responsibility to the lost around us to tell them about Christ. Are we doing everything we can to let our light shine? You see, we need to let our light shine in what we do so that when we do speak words, they have weight. They have value because they've seen us live out our faith. Now, hear me. I am not saying you're perfect. If you are perfect, you're the only person ever. And you're deceiving yourself anyway because you're not perfect. Christ is the only one that ever lived that was perfect. You and I are flawed. We're flawed people. I'll never forget, I had a friend who preached a sermon called Cracked Pots. And he talked about the fact how God likes to use broken vessels. We're all cracked pots. We're all broken. But thank goodness God chooses to use us and we can let His light shine through us. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, please don't play games with eternity. Have you ever thought for even just a moment how long eternity is? Think about the longest day of your life, and it's a dot compared to eternity. Not on my opinion, but on what the Word of God makes very clear, if you don't place your faith in Christ, you will spend your eternity in a lake of fire. I've read the end of the book. I know what it says. But it's God's desire that none would perish. It's God's desire that no one would have to spend their eternity that way. And He's done everything possible to let the light of Christ shine. He showed His love in the most tremendous of ways in sending His Son to die on a cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have the love and the light of Christ in our lives. If you've not done that, settle that issue today. It really is just as simple as admitting you're a sinner. You're really not admitting it to God. You're admitting it to yourself. You're agreeing with Him that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that He's already done that. He's already provided that for you. All you have to do is place your trust in Him. Turn from your sin and place your trust in Him. He will save you. It is just that simple. But I want to tell you, because I don't want you to be misled, it's not about joining a church. Everything's not going to become easy when you place your faith in Him. As a matter of fact, when you place your faith in Christ, you've now got an enemy that is so very interested in you. And He's going to do everything He can to try to cause you to stumble, to try to cause you to feel discouraged in your faith. But you can literally look Him in the eye and tell Him He's a liar, because He is. And that through Christ, we have power over Him because of what Christ did for us. We don't have to listen to His lies. We can trust in God's truth. Christian, I pray you're not living defeated today. I pray that you're being the light of Christ and letting that light shine. I want to encourage you today. Ask God to help you. Have some people in mind to be praying for regularly that don't yet know Him. People that you can have an influence on. People that you can share your faith with. And pray for God to give you opportunities to share your faith. Could you imagine? Just hang in here with me for a second. Imagine if every person here this morning led one person to Christ in the next year. That would impact eternity in a powerful way, wouldn't it? I dare say it'd impact this church in a powerful way, too. I'm not saying every one of those has to end up coming to church here. But I am saying if we share our faith, we'll see more people come to faith in Christ. We'll get to fill that thing up every week as people make decisions to trust Him. Let's be faithful in letting the light shine through us. You were darkness. You're not anymore. You're light. Let his light shine. Whatever your burden or concern is today, give it to God. You can trust it to him. He will see you through. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for amazing grace. God, I thank you for the light that you've revealed to us. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that's never trusted in you. I pray right now, even right now, your light would shine into their life. Lord, that they would recognize their sin and repent. Lord, turn to you and trust you for salvation. God, I pray for each of us as believers. Help us even right now to have people in our mind, people in our heart that we need to be praying for, that we need to be a witness to. And help us to be faithful to encourage them and to point them to you. But God, we trust you as the one who saves. Lord, whatever needs or burdens are represented here today, I pray we'd have the wisdom to let go of those and lay those at your feet right now. You have your way in this place. It's in your powerful and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.